Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Glory to God. And it's
now.
Somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him for the blood.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I apologize for that technical difficulty. I was here just going forth in the Lord with my greeting to all of you and got the text message that there was no volume coming out of the system. It was quiet. So I apologize for that. But thank you, Elder, for reaching out to me, letting me know that I was muted. Amen. We thank God for each of you who have taken out the time to transform your space into a sanctuary once again on tonight. I know many of you have been worshiping from home today, and it's already a sanctuary because you are there. The presence of the Lord is there. But you have invited the Blog Talk, the Light of Portland family, to come into your space. I want to let you know it is an honor, a privilege, and my pleasure to be able to worship with all of you on tonight. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, the blood still works. And yes, God is good. I love him today more than I did on yesterday. We want to take out a few moments just to give thanks to God for those who make this platform possible. We thank God for the Butterfields, amen, for sharing this platform with us. Week after week, we are here, and some of us are here twice a week, two times on Sunday, amen. We do our morning broadcast here, and then we come back Sunday night at 8 o'clock just to worship the Lord. I remember as a child going to church Sunday morning all day long, Sunday school, and turn around and couldn't wait for evening worship. And so this is just right up my alley, having some church in the evening time on Sunday night. Also want to thank God for those that co-labor with us, our sister, Pastor Sherelle Pennington of Atlanta, Georgia, our sister, Elder Kathy Miniweather, and our son of the house, Elder Dante Farmer. Truly, God is good. And he is so worthy. I appreciate that man of God and those women of God that labor with us here at the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. We are all about doing ministry like Jesus. We also want to give thanks and glory and honor to God for Archbishop Ruth Smith, who is the Archbishop. She is the presiding prelay for the International. And I'm getting it all mixed up now in my head because of all this other stuff I got to remember to say. But Archbishop Ruth Smith is the presiding bishop for the World of the Light Ministry. And we truly thank God for her and the work that she is doing to advance the kingdom of God and to let the world know that God is good. Light of the world. Thank you, Pastor. Light of the world. She is doing a great work for the kingdom of God. She is a woman of God that preaches and teaches and hears from God, and she speaks to men and women just as if God himself sat us down to talk to us. I love that type of teaching, and I love to hear Archbishop pray. She's a wonderful, gentle spirit, and I just truly thank God for her allowing us to be a part of the light of the world. And so we're just truly grateful that the light is shining here in Portland, and we are holding up the bloodstained banner. We're holding up the walls, and like Nehemiah, we are not coming down. Amen. We are just truly blessed. I thank God tonight for our speaker. Amen. Minister Amber Brooks is our speaker for tonight. Minister Amber Brooks comes from this Missionary Baptist Church. Our friend and our brother, Pastor Craig Lamar Brown, is her pastor. Minister Amber has been working most of her life for the cause that God has placed upon her. If you know her, you know that she is passionate about our young people, the ministry of performing arts. She dances, she sings, she does theater, all to give God glory and honor. And she has been preaching for the past 3 years. And so I'm excited. I remember when she accepted her call to preach the gospel. And I'm telling you all tonight, if you have never heard her before, get excited because she is on fire. She's a fireball for the Lord. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord has given to her to preach tonight. Amen. And Minister Amber, her favorite scripture tonight comes from Psalms 121. Amen. I'm sure that some of us are saying that right now. I will lift up my eyes because it's a favorite to all of us. Amen. And so we're just truly grateful that she is a woman of God that loves the Lord. She loves the people of God, and she loves the work of the Lord. Amen. We do have an announcement we want to share with you on tonight, and I'm so excited to share this for those of you that are living here in the Portland area. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church's community engagement will be opening up their food pantry on Saturday, April the 24th from 12 noon to 2 o'clock p.m. St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church is located at 8101 North Fisk Avenue. That's right here in the City of Roses. And you can go there. They'll have cleaning supplies, personal hygiene items, canned food, vegetables, cereal, rice, pasta, beans, grains, dairy products, crackers, and more. And if you need more information, you can contact St. Paul by calling 503-289-1911. That's St. Paul Community Engagement Food Pantry will be opening this Saturday, not this Saturday, that is this Saturday, excuse me, April the 24th. Amen. The month is going by fast, y'all. April the 24th. And so we want to encourage you to keep St. Paul and the work that Pastor Brown and the ministry that they are doing, keep them lifted up in prayer. I need you to save the date. I need you to save the date. That date is Thursday, May the 6th. Thursday, May the 6th is National Day of Prayer. And we will be right here on Blog Talk and on Zoom for a time of prayer. We will go before the Lord in prayer. Amen. We will go before the Lord in prayer. And so I just need you to save the date. I start making phone calls to my prayer warriors. Just have a yes in your heart, because we're going to tear down the walls of Satan, the work that the enemy has been doing in our city, our state, and our nation. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired. I am sick. I am sick. I am sick and tired of all that the enemy is doing, all that we are allowing him to do, because we are sitting back. We are not praying. We're not fasting. We got to get folks. This warfare that we are in, we got to strap up them boots. We got to put on our war clothes. It's high time that the saints of God come together and continue to pray. Amen. Continue to fast. Continue to seek God's face. Continue to call out the sins of this nation and to call on the God that can change the heart and the behavior of man, because we truly want to see repentance in our city, our state, and our nation, but it first begins with the household of faith. Amen. Goes right there, Pastor Black. Well, we're getting ready to go to God in prayer on tonight, knowing that God is a God that hears and answers prayer, knowing that he will deliver and set free. If we ask, if we believe, God will do what he said he would do. Amen. We're going to pray, and following our prayer, the next voice you will hear will be that of our speaker, Minister Amber Brooks. She's going to be coming as the Lord has blessed her with the word. You all know my saying, if there's preaching in the pew, if there's praying in the pew, there's preaching in the pulpit. So I don't know if she's sitting or standing, and I don't know if you're sitting or laying, but if you pray, I know that God will hear your prayer, and he will reach forth and give Minister Amber the power she needs to deliver this word, because somebody on this line needs to hear a word from the Lord on tonight. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father God, we humbly come before your throne of grace tonight, thanking you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy, thanking you for being God and God all by yourself, because there is none like you. You are holy, you are righteous, you are faithful, you are loving, you are a forgiving God, you are a merciful God, and we lift you up, oh God, because you are holy. Oh God, we lift you up, oh God, because, Father, you, oh God, you know the thoughts that you think towards us, thoughts that are good and not evil, to bring us a hope and a future. God, thank you for the hope tonight. I know that this pandemic has some of us frustrated and restless and full of anxiety and fear, but God, thank you for hope tonight. Thank you for the revival that's coming to renew us and restore us and to transform our minds. It's going to begin tonight, God. It's going to begin tonight. We will not be uneasy. We will not have anxiety. We will not be fearful after receiving a word on tonight. God, we, Father, have not been given the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Father God, we thank you for your word, because it is a life-building word. And so tonight, we receive your word, oh God. Father, help us not get weary in our well-doing. Lord, I heard in your word that this race is not given to the swift, but to he that endureth to the end. So give us power, Lord. Give us strength, Lord. Give us courage, Lord. Give us, oh God, direction, Father, that we may be able to stand, God. And having done all to stand, God, we know that the enemy comes in like a flood, but God, I know your word says that you will lift up a standard. So God, I'm asking you tonight, lift up a standard, oh God. Cause us to lift up our eyes to the hills from which cometh our help, oh God, for all of our help coming from you, Father. God, we love you today. We appreciate you today. Walk up and down this city, oh God. Walk up and down this city, oh God. Show yourself strong. Show yourself mighty. Oh God, bring an end to the violence. Bring an end to the lying. Bring an end to the backbiting. Bring an end to the racism. Bring an end, oh God, to the homosexuality. Bring an end, oh God, to the adulterers. Bring an end, oh God, to the fornicator. Bring an end to the liar, to the cheat, to the back. Bring it in, God. Eradicate it now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we confess the sins of this nation. Father, the rich keep getting richer, Father. Yeah, I know they got a big name for it, social economics. God, I know they got a big word for it, Father. You said the poor we will have with us always, and it's not the government's responsibility to take care of the poor. It's the church's responsibility. We've neglected the widows and the orphans. We've neglected those who are houseless, oh God. We've neglected those who are incarcerated. We've neglected your people, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. We're coming to you, Father, and we're broken, God. We have a contrite heart, God. We're grieving, Father. We're crying out to you, God. Just like Ezra, Lord, we're laying prostrate in your presence, oh God. Crying out, oh God. Raise up a nation that's going to cry with us tonight, God. As we stand in the gap, Lord, as we pray for this nation, as we pray for our city, our state. Father, we pray for our leaders. God, that you would raise up our leaders, Father. Not that we can get involved with all the politics, but that we would get involved with the kingdom building. Help us to be serious. Help us to be creative. Help us, God, to run after you like never before. Father, you placed our churches in the community. Now let the church do what the community needs us to do. Oh, God, we beseech you now, Father, to have mercy on your people. As we do the work that you've assigned our hands to do. Father, tonight, God, we pray for those that are grieving, those who are living with COVID, cancer, AIDS, leukemia, sickle cell, high blood pressure, diabetes, kidney failure, lupus. God, we lift it up to you because there's no disease that you don't know nothing about. You are the great physician. And if you say dry up, it is healed in Jesus' name. God, we realize that our afflictions that are upon our bodies, God, you placed them there that we would give you glory and that we would be a testimony because man thinks that he is God. Man thinks because he knows science and he knows medicine that he can save a life and he can cure a life. Well, I just want to let man know you are deceiving yourself because my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the great physician. He's never lost a case. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the source of all things. He is the giver of life. And we worship you tonight, Father. We give you glory and honor tonight. We love you tonight, Father. Bless those families that are grieving all across this nation, Lord. Father, we realize that people have killed other people and people have even taken their own lives. And they've left behind sons and daughters, mothers and fathers and nieces and nephews and cousins, co-workers and pastors and usher members and choir members who don't understand. Touch the grieving hearts today in the name of Jesus. Don't let us think like the world, Father. But let us, Father, let us, God, grieve with the hope that all those who have been taken away from this earth have made peace with you after your word. You said you don't want none to perish. You want all men to be brought to repentance. And God, you didn't say they needed to give their life to you when they was 5, 6, or 7, or 8. You didn't say that. You said whenever. Just like the thief that died on the cross right next to you, he said, if you be the Son of the living God, when you get into your kingdom, will you remember me? You saved him right then and there, Father. And he's sitting in the kingdom of heaven waiting for that great getting up morning. So, God, I pray for those souls that were taken this month. Pray for those bodies that you, God, healed this month. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the saints that have been called on. Your word said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We are rejoicing today, Father. Father, we give you glory and honor today. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We pray now, God, your richest blessing upon our speaker tonight. We ask, Father, that you would saturate her with your word, her deep down into the hidden treasures of your word, and allow her, God, to speak what thus saith the Lord. Nothing more, nothing less. Father, pour into her now, Father, a rhema word, Father. I know she's been studying all week long. So, Lord God, give her, God, the spirit and the courage now, God, just to speak your word. Touch the ears of the hearers, Father, that we may receive, Father, tonight. Give us a spirit of expectation that we may hear something that would cause us to change our behavior, change our thinking, change our way of walking, our way of talking, to help us give you glory and honor. And Father, we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Minister Amber, amen. I yield this call to you.
Thank you, Pastor Black. First, giving honor to God, the head of my life, my pastor, Pastor Black, for the opportunity. This evening we are going to be coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Father God, I ask that you hide me behind your cross and let your word go forth. I ask that you forgive us for anything that we may have done that may be displeasing in your sight, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. And the scripture reads, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. With the turn of a page, we leave the Old Testament and travel to the New. We barely notice the amount of time between the two testaments. The world where we find Jesus is a completely different world from the one we left in Malachi. In Malachi, under the guidance of the priests and the prophets, the Israelites returned from captivity to rebuild the temple. They had to rebuild and learn how to worship God in the way that he desired. In Matthew, the most notable difference is the lack of prophets. Malachi followed a number of prophets going back hundreds of years, yet not a single prophet appeared before the nation during the years between the Old and New Testament. The heavens seemed closed to the nation of Israel. They didn't hear anything from God for more than 400 years. Nothing but silence. Then on what appeared to be a regular night, at the end of a regular day, in the tiny village of Bethlehem, Jesus was born. Once again, God's voice had graced the land. Finally, his silence had ended. The people had received their Savior, but not the one they expected. In this passage of scripture, Jesus pulls his disciples aside as the crowds are gathering to warn them about the temptations they were going to encounter for his sake. He told them not to expect fame and fortune, but to expect mourning and persecution and hunger. He assures them that they are going to be rewarded, but that this reward may not be in this life. We got to remember that God's way of living usually contradicts the world. If we want to live for God, we have to be willing and ready to say and do what seems strange to the world. We have to give when others take. We have to love when others hate. We have to help when others abuse. We have to give up ourselves in order to serve one another. Jesus assures us that we are going to be rewarded. That reward may not be in this life, and it may not be what we expected. The Beatitudes describe that what we should be like as followers of Christ. They're a standard of conduct for all believers. They contrast what is eternal with the worldly and temporary. They contrast the superficial, fake, phony faith like the Pharisees with the real faith that Christ desires from his followers. And each Beatitude also explains how we should be blessed. You see, blessed means more than happiness. It implies the fortunate, desirable, attractive, sought-after state of those who are in God's kingdom, those who will uniquely enjoy divine favor. The Beatitudes don't promise pleasure and earthly prosperity. They promise the existence of hope and joy outside of outward circumstances. The only way we can experience this kind of hope and joy is to seek after Jesus no matter the cost. We have to remember God's there and he takes part with us while we're suffering. In Deuteronomy and Proverbs, see, it's argued that material prosperity and earthly success were a sign of God's approval, and poverty and suffering were evidence of divine punishment. But you see, Jesus flipped it on them. With the Beatitudes, Jesus reverses these traditional views, and it's not what the people expected. You see, Jesus' teachings did not replace the Mosaic law. They intensified it. Jesus is illustrating how we should observe it. We need to emphasize the core of ethical meaning that lies behind each commandment. Jesus doesn't contradict Torah rules, but interprets them to reveal the human motivation that so often causes us to break those rules. Jesus is telling us to treat others as we would like to be treated. This compacts the essential biblical message and embodies the law and the prophets. Love God and thy neighbor wholeheartedly. See, we all tend to take on the common assumption that it's okay to hate our enemies. But you see, Jesus, he demands a higher righteousness, one that will demonstrate God's character as we interact with our brothers and sisters. We need to be boundless in love and generosity and seeking first the kingdom of heaven, passing no judgment, releasing ourselves from the judgmental attitudes that bind people to their own defect, and instead focus on the infinite graciousness of the Father who endlessly gives good things to those who ask him. See, God's kingdom is not organized like worldly kingdoms. Wealth, power, and authority are unimportant because kingdom people seek after different blessings and benefits. We have different outlooks and different attitudes. Our attitudes are not carbon copies of the world's selfishness, pride, and lust for power, but our attitudes reflect humility and the self-sacrifice of Jesus. Each beatitude is an almost direct contradiction of society's typical way of life. If our goal is to become more like Jesus, we have to apply the Beatitudes each day, change the way the world has conditioned us to live. Jesus tells us to rejoice when we're under the fire of persecution because it takes our eyes off our earthly rewards. It strips away superficial beliefs, and it strengthens our faith as we endure and creates an opportunity for our attitudes to be an example to others to follow when they are facing persecution. God's greatest prophets were persecuted, and the fact that we face persecution proves that we have been faithful. Remember, the foolish and the faithless, see, they go unnoticed. But those of us who are faithful, who live by Jesus' words, who don't use God's message only to promote our own personal interests, we will be rewarded and welcomed into the kingdom of heaven where we will no longer be persecuted. Jesus' teachings were not what the people or the disciples expected. The people expected a warrior, not the carpenter's son born in a manger that the angels had announced. He was not what they expected at all, and he was never going to live up to their expectations. Almost everyone would disapprove of him. Jesus' concept of messiahship is completely different from the popular expectation of a warrior king that delivers Israel from its Gentile oppressors. You remember that silence I told you about, that period of time between the two testaments? See, this was preparation time. God used these years of silence to prepare the perfect time and place for Jesus' arrival. The silent time between the testaments was no joke, y'all. The whole hot place had broken loose all over the place. They were years of war and upheaval, flawed heroes, unfulfilled hopes. God had brought about the perfect political and religious setting for the work of his son. God set the stage for the final scene of salvation history for all of us. He stepped away for a moment, got himself some quiet time, and got everything ready for Jesus. But see, his silence was no frustration. It was not a throw-in-the-towel moment. He wasn't cutting people off like we like to do when things don't go our way, comply with what we want them to do. God simply stepped back and watched for a little while. This time of silence was no consequence for all of our unrighteousness. This was a time of preparation, and the end result was our salvation. This time of silence was because he loved us, and it wasn't what we expected. We have to learn not to lean on our expectations and lean on the everlasting arm of the Father. We can't allow the world and its expectations of us cause us to miss what God has in store for us. We can't let the world count us out. Think about it like this. No one expected a little dirty shepherd boy to become a giant killing king. His own father counted him out. No one expected Job to hold out and stand firm while the whole hot place broke loose all around him. His family and friends counted him out. No one expected Joseph to be ruler in Egypt after being sold into slavery. His brothers counted him out. No one expected Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. His own people doubted and counted him out. No one expected Samson to get one final victory over the Philistines and destroy them. Everyone counted him out. No one expected Daniel to live through the night in the lion's den. His haters counted him out. No one expected the three Hebrew boys to live through their furnace visit. The king counted him out. No one expected old antique Abraham and Sarah to have a kid, and she counted herself out. No one expected the flood to come when Noah was building the boat. No one expected old impulsive Peter to be the first great voice of the gospel. No one expected a despised tax collector to become one of the 12. No one expected a betrayer to be in the Savior squad. No one expected Paul to be transformed by God from a persecutor to a preacher. No one expected Joseph to sit with Mary. No one expected Lazarus to come walking out of that tomb. No one expected that water to become wine. No one expected the carpenter's kid to be the Savior. And no one expected that we would be where we are today. This walk and this call wasn't what I expected. And Jesus wasn't the warrior Messiah that the world expected. The cross wasn't the way they expected the Savior to die. And the sacrifice at the cross was just Jesus sliding through saying, hey, I hate to break it to you guys, but I'm going to be unable to meet your expectations, and it's going to be for your good. I ain't what you expected, and I'm sorry to let you down, but your expectations and my expectations are two different things, and you don't know what you need. See, God can make every and any passage of life meaningful and useful. Years of struggle are also effective years of worship and service, and all the hardship we endure more often than not works out for our good, and it's never going to be what we expected. I know a songwriter that said none but the righteous are going to see God, and righteousness is what he requires. Nobody expected God to do what he did and send his son to die for the sins of the world. No one expected it to happen, but what we need to do is learn how to stand firm on his word and expect the unexpected. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Minister, I was still waiting for some more. Amen. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was so awesome. That word was awesome on time tonight. Amen. Truly thanking God for all that he has given you tonight to give to us. And I don't know about you, but I had that flashback in my mind seeing all of those heroes, amen, come before us, who those people counted them out, but God. Tonight, you may be one of those that somebody has counted out, Amen. You might be one of those that they say, you never should have made it. Oh, but God tonight, Minister Amber, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for your time sharing the word of God with us. I don't know about you, but did not our hearts burn within? Amen. Truly, that was an amazing word tonight. Truly, that was an awesome word on tonight. Just because they count you out don't mean that it's over. Amen. It is not over. Stand firm and stand true to the God of our salvation. Hold to his hand. Amen. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ever ask, think, or imagine. Amen. We truly, truly, truly thank God for that word on tonight. I hope you've been blessed by our time together. I hope and pray that something has been said to encourage you and to enlighten you, to help you see that God is for us and not against us. And no weapon, that's what the Bible says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. So I hope and pray that you were blessed tonight. I hope and pray that you join us on next Sunday. Tell somebody about the Light of Portland broadcast. Truly, the Lord is blessing us. We get good word week after week, and we are at a place where God can bless us and use us. If you have any announcements that you would like to share or you have a prayer request that you would like for us to lift up, please email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com. We will share your announcements and we will definitely lift you up in prayer because we are a praying people. We know that where there is little prayer, there's little power. Where there is no prayer, there's no power. But where there is much prayer, there is much power. And we have a band of believers that pray with us and agree with the word with us and know that those prayers are availing much. So again, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister, for calling in to the Light of Portland. It has been my pleasure. I have been your host, Pastor Kimberly Black, and I'm so grateful to Minister Amber for sharing her word with us on tonight from Matthew 5, 1 through 12, through the history of time, reminding us how to be blessed, reminding us how to live as kingdom-minded people. Let us receive our benediction. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us hence, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
What you say now, what you say now, in the city, in the field, what you say now.